Revelation chapter 21, and we'll read the first 7 verses, and then we'll be looking some in chapter 21, chapter 22, and just be blessed. Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this Sunday morning, and thank you for this place, dear God. And Lord, I believe it's the words of Jesus that if it were not so, I would have told you. And so, Lord, we can know that just as Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no falsehood. There's never a lie that's come from the lips of our Savior. We can be assured that this wonderful place called heaven exists and awaits those who have truly been born again. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, we realize, dear God, that we would not be saved if it were not for your great plan, your great sacrifice in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world. Lord, thank you for bringing us under conviction of our sin. Thank you for drawing us, Father, to yourself. Thank you for the day, Lord, those of us that are saved, when we realized we were a sinner and needed Christ and turned to Jesus Christ and asked him to be our Savior, believing in his death, believing in his burial, believing in his resurrection. Thank you for salvation. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that's never been saved, dear God, that they would be saved today and make their reservation sure in this place called heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. 5 best things about heaven. 5 best things about heaven. I'll give you a little window into what we're going to preach tonight. I told our folks that for 3 Sunday nights, I'm going to spend some time preparing us for our fall attendance campaign and stirring the heart of the church as we are making plans to having 4 very special Sundays. Actually, we're going to do a 5th Sunday later on in October where we just really go all out. And we just try to get folks in that are lost and try to get them under the preaching of the gospel. And I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled The 5 Worst Things About Hell. The 5 Worst Things About Hell. And as I was doing that study and preparing that message, you know what I kept thinking all week long? Boy, I'm sure glad there's a place called heaven. And so I said, Lord, if you'll let me, I'd like to balance out Sunday night's message on the 5 worst things about hell with a Sunday morning message where we can get up and rejoice and thank you, dear God, that yes, you are. And by the way, God was the one that created hell. Every once in a while you'll have somebody say, well, I don't think a loving God would send anybody to hell. Let me just straighten your thinking out. You know what? God doesn't send you to hell. Your unbelief, your unwillingness to be saved is what sends you to hell. If you go to hell, you'll trample right over the top of the love of God. If you go to hell, you'll trample right over the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, God's done everything to make salvation clear and free for you. And yet, if you turn around and walk away from that, it wasn't God that sent you to hell. It was your unbelief that sent you to hell. But the same God that made hell made heaven. And the same God that is a God of judgment is a God of love. And so I think it's going to be fun this morning that we preach on this subject, the 5 best things about heaven. I wrote the title before I had the outline, and then I said, all right, let's study this. And there's so many great things. What are we going to put on this list? And I had to start here. Number 1, the presence of God himself. the presence of God Himself. If God's not there, if Jesus isn't there, if the Holy Spirit's not there, then it's certainly not heaven. Revelation 21, verse 3, notice what we read. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Watch this. "And He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God." If you look over in verse number 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." Watch this. "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I can't wait to get to heaven because I want to see God. The presence of the Father, the presence of the Son, Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the triune God, an opportunity to intermingle with them and to see them. I want to show you something else. If you want to go over to verse 22 of this same chapter, verse number 22 and verse 23. Let's get our cup full here, okay? Verse 22 and verse 23 says this, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Say, "Preacher, what's going to make heaven heaven? Because God is there, because Jesus is there, because the sweet Holy Spirit of God is there." In Revelation chapter 22, if you're right there, look at verse 3 and 4. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb, and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." And I love this. "And they shall see his face." And they shall see his face. Think about just being in the presence of God the Father. Think about him saying, "I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my son." I mean, folks, what we're allowed is the same status in heaven as far as relationship-wise. We are promised by Jesus Christ we're going to have the same Father-Son status that He enjoys with God the Father. I think that that's a wonderful thing, to be in the presence of God all through the Old Testament, all into the New Testament. There was one unbendable, unbreakable rule, and that's this: no man could ever look upon the face of God. And if they ever looked upon the face of God in their mortal bodies, they would instantly die. But you know what? When we get to heaven, God's going to say, "Come see me in my glory. Come see me in my brightness. Come see me in all that I am." To see the Father, the Creator of the universe, and then on the right hand of God to see Jesus Christ. And one man said this: the only man-made things in heaven will be the nail prints in his hand. And you know what, folks, to have the Lamb come. Can I have you, and I didn't know if to take the time to do this or not, but I think I'm going to go over to Revelation chapter number 3. Don't worry, I'll cheat the message somewhere else and get you out on time, all right? Maybe. Revelation chapter number 4, if you'll go there. Revelation chapter number 4. You know what Revelation chapter number 4 is? Is the encounter of the saints of God the first time that they see God the Father. You know what Revelation chapter 5 is? Them being allowed to see the Son of God, the great Lamb of God. Now, folks, can I just read the Bible? Would that bore you? I hope not. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, and said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold," watch this, what do we see first? "A throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Now, folks, we're going to see this one of these days. "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the four beasts each had of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, a glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You know what's going to make heaven heaven? God's going to make heaven heaven. Now, I had fun there, but I'm going to have a little more fun in chapter number 5, okay? All right. The Bible bores you, take a nap. I'll wake you up when I get done reading, but you fall asleep during this, God help you. Here we go. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book, written wherein, within and on the backside, filled with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, think of this, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, see that word, beheld, we're going to see Him, we're going to see Him. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, you think about this, folks, come on now, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. What are you talking about? I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about the main attraction. I'm talking about the star of the show. I'm talking about when we get to heaven. Let me tell you something, folks. It's going to be great to see our loved ones. It's going to be a wonderful, sweet reunion day. You got a mom and or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or a cherished loved one that's waiting for you. That'll all be good. But you know what? We are in very quick fashion going to make a beeline to the throne, because what and who we want to see the most is God the Father, God the Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Imagine meeting the Holy Spirit of God. Imagine the familiarity. I hope there will be. I mean, He's a cherished friend. He's a member of the Trinity that was sent down to indwell us. I think there's going to be a wonderful familiarity with the Spirit of God. An opportunity to say thank you for sealing me into the day of redemption. Thank you for guiding me and directing me. Thank you for empowering me and for filling me with your Spirit. Thank you for the fruits that you were able to produce in my life. Isn't it a wonderful thing? That of all of the things that's best about heaven, number one, the presence of Almighty God. Number two, could I say this? The beauty of our eternal home. The beauty of our eternal home. If we'll go back to Revelation chapter number 21, we'll just kind of work down through this for a few minutes. Now, young people, let me give you this because I want you to understand this, okay? How many of our young people, I'm talking about children, young people, how many of you young people have ever been to Paris, France? Have you ever been to Paris, France? Anybody here ever been to Paris, France, as far as our young people are? Brother Joe, you're not a young person, but anybody ever been there? Adults besides Brother Joe, you've been there. You've been to Paris, France, all right. We've got three. You've been to Paris, France. We've got four people here. Okay, let me see if I can help you young people. Wouldn't it be cool one of these days to get on a plane and go to Paris, France? You say, well, I don't know if I'll get that opportunity in the vast majority of us in this room won't, but could I tell you this? Whether or not you ever have been there, or whether or not you've ever seen it, how many of you believe that Paris, France is real, that it's a real city and a real place, and that there's people there, amen? Let me see if I can help you, young people. Some of you are looking at me like, I've never been out of Greene County yet. What are you talking about? I mean, we only go to Linton once a month. What are you talking about? You know what? Some of the most wonderful and beautiful cities, some of the most wonderful and beautiful spots on this planet, you may never see with your eyes. You may never have the time or the flexibility or the finances to go see them, but they're real. And young people, I want you to get this. When people talk about heaven sometimes, you know, you watch cartoons or you see things on TV and they, you know, there's like these clouds floating around and angels are playing harps and that's cool. Let me tell you something. Heaven is a real city. It's a real place. It's somewhere where we're going to be able to go and visit and see. And I'm talking about walking on streets. I'm talking about streets that don't have potholes. Amen. I'm talking about real buildings. I'm talking about real people. I want you to understand that God has prepared a wonderful place for you, and it is more beautiful than anything man has ever created on this planet. I can't wait just to see heaven. When I read about the description of it, there's, you know, if you like construction, you like, you know, you're the kind of guy when you see a beautiful building, you kind of walk around and you look at the materials and you look at the architecture and you look at some of the beauty of some of the sculpturing and the engraving and all of those things and you kind of look at how it's made and how it's put together. Can you imagine us walking around heaven? Now think about these things. Let me give you several things that's going to be there. In verse number 11 of Revelation chapter number 21, the light of heaven, the light itself, having the glory of God and her light, talking about this city, her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Let's talk about her light. When I was contemplating asking my wife to marry me, back when we were just dating, I decided it was time to go shopping for a ring. And I went to a jewelry store and I began to look at the diamonds there and trying to decide what I could afford. And so he began to explain to me the different types of diamonds. And you know, all of you guys have gone through this education at the jewelry store where they go through this long process that basically puts you onto a guilt trip not to buy something cheap, but buy something that, by the way, doesn't look that much different than the other one, but to their trained eye. I don't know what it is about the lights they put in jewelry stores, but you know, when you're looking at that ring under that light and they got the big magnifying glass and they just turn it, and every way they turn it, it just shoots, it sparkles and it's just beautiful. And then you buy it and then you take it out, put it on her finger, and it never does that again, ever. It doesn't, like, it never does that again. They tricked you. And the guy was showing me, and he said, I know that you probably aren't looking for this nice of a stone, but he goes back into this vault, he comes out, and he said, this diamond, it's not even in a ring, it's just a diamond. He's got a pair of, like, I think it's vice grips is what it was, but he had a little specialty tool, and he took that thing, and he set it underneath that light, and he started turning. I said, oh my, and it's a big diamond. And I said, how much is this? And he said, this is $25,000. And I said, you can just go ahead and put that back right now. But I never forget just watching him just turn that thing under that light and all the different ways the light shone. And folks, listen to me. There's nothing we can find on earth that will perfectly allow us to picture what it's going to be like in heaven. I understand that. But can you imagine a city that sparkles like that, a city that shoots out light? I mean, when we see this new Jerusalem descending from heaven, it's going to be like a beautiful, beautiful diamond. And listen, it won't be the reflection of the light onto the city. It will be the light coming from the city. And by the way, we're going to find out where that light comes from. Amen. What a beautiful, just the light of the city. We haven't even gotten to the construction of, how about the construction, the walls, the gates, and the foundation, verse number 12, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon. Now, folks, listen to me. These aren't black words on white paper. This is what John was allowed to see. Can you see yourself walking up to this city? You say, what? How high is the wall? I don't know. It's great. It's great and high, huge. Can you imagine walking up 12 gates? At every gate, an angel stationed there, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lies 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. Now folks, listen to me. Can you imagine John the Revelator being shown this, and now the command is write these things? And he's trying as best he can, using what we could relate to bring a parallel to what he's seen. And yet, you know what? It sounds like a fairy tale. What in the world? Can you imagine such a thing? It talks about the foundations of the wall garnished with all manner of precious stones. The 12 gates in verse 21 were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Can you see that? Can you watch that? Walking around looking at that? I mean, folks, just the construction of heaven. We're talking about golden streets, pure gold. We're talking about the walls built, as it were, of jasper. We're talking about gates of pearls, foundations of all precious stones. The beauty of our eternal home is going to be breathtaking. And then we walk inside of this wall in chapter 21, verse 6, and it says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Now, this is one of the cool things about heaven. Once you get into there, again, there is the throne of God. And in front of the throne of God, there's a fountain of water. Now, you think of the beautiful fountains that you've seen that man has created. Can you imagine what God's going to create? This fountain of water creates what's called the river of life. And so flowing in front of the throne of God is this beautiful fountain, and then it's creating a river that flows from the throne of God. That's Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, a clear as crystal proceeding out of the throne of God. Now watch this. This is neat. Revelation 22:2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. And so, alongside of this river of life is the tree of life. Remember the tree of life? One time took up residence in the Garden of Eden. Remember, it was God Himself that sent an angel down to drive Adam and Eve out of the garden lest they eat of the tree of life. Now we find that tree of life, and isn't it spectacular? Think about this. Every month, this same tree bears a different type of fruit. Now, that's going to be amazing to me. One of the wonders of heaven. And you'll go one month and you'll eat a certain type of fruit off of the tree. And then the next month, you'll come and it'll be a different type of fruit. And next month, it'll be a different type of fruit. And it's available to us. Watch this. We get to drink of the river of life. We get to eat the fruit from the tree of life. And so that's what's waiting for us in heaven. How about the heavenly mansions? Now, we see the throne. We've gotten through the walls. We've gone past that gate that was made of pearl. By the way, those gates, the Bible says, never close. They never close. It's always open. And then we see the throne of God. We see the great fountain and the river of life flowing. We see the... By the way, how many of you have a lost loved one? Someone very dear and precious that's in heaven today. Would you raise your hand? Folks, listen to me. What I'm trying to describe, they're walking around seeing with their own eyes right now. That ought to make you feel pretty good. You can put your hands down. That ought to make you feel pretty good. Preacher, I missed my lost loved one, and I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. I've said this so many times. If you could see where they're at for 5 seconds, you'd never wish them back here. Now, you might wish yourself there, but you'd never wish them back here. What an amazing place. What a wonderful place. Say, "Preacher, my lost loved one, are they okay?" If they're saved, they're just fine. They're having the time of their life. What a place. The tree of life. Heavenly mansions. Now, we see that and all of a sudden we notice the buildings. Jesus said this, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I went out and visited Paul Chapman. Years ago, me and my wife went out to Rhode Island and visited him, and we took about half a day, and he said, let me take you and drive you to Providence, and let me show you some of the things there in Providence, Rhode Island. There's a certain neighborhood that is famous for their mansions. And you know what? He said, let's just take about 10 minutes. I want to just cut through this neighborhood. I want you to see this. And I'll be honest with you folks. Every once in a while around here, you see a fancy house, and I mean sometimes even an extravagantly fancy house. But when I was driving down there in Providence, Rhode Island, I could not believe some of the homes that I saw. Watch this. They're going to look like outhouses compared to what God builds. Amen. Amen. Preacher, we don't live in anything very extravagant. If you're saved, one of these days you're going to live in a pretty awesome place. Preacher, you know what? We sacrifice for the Lord and we sacrifice to missions and you know what? We're trying to be faithful in our tithes and offerings, and because of that, you know what? There's nothing that you're going to sacrifice down here on earth that God's not going to see to it that you are paid back for in heaven one of these days. And you know, I know about the guy that sings the song about he just, you know, wants a cottage somewhere in the corner. No, I'll go ahead and take the mansion. Thank you very much. And if God's going to offer it, I'm going to take it. Amen. And can you imagine such a place, walking around room by room, looking at everything? I mean, folks, listen to me. You don't want to miss this place. The new heaven and the new earth. Say, preacher, Revelation 21:1. Let me just read that to you and give you an explanation. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now watch this, folks. Everything is burnt to it with a fervent heat. God has to take an eraser and completely erase His creation. Sin has tainted everything. So God wipes it out, but He says, I'm going to start it over now. And He creates a new heaven and a new earth. And I want you to understand something, folks. We'll be able to enjoy both of those things. Okay? I want you to get this, all right? Sometimes people are, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses will come to your door, and sometimes they want to talk about how they're not going to go to heaven, they're going to live here on earth, you know. Well, I'm going to live both places. You know, they want to be stuck here on earth, that's fine with them. But you know what? At the same time, let me say this. We can't ignore the fact that God made a new heaven and a new earth. And you know what? That new Jerusalem that's coming down, notice this, verse number 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Well, folks, watch this, coming down from God out of where? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, understand this, if there's going to be a new Jerusalem, maybe it's going to be put where the old Jerusalem was. And so sometimes when I talk about heaven, it's a little bit confusing because we talk about this city, but this new Jerusalem will be on this new earth. You say, well, preach, I don't get it. If when I die, am I going to go to the new earth and live or the new heaven and earth? And my answer is yes. You know what's fantastic about this? We're going to have access to everything. We're going to have access to all of it. Come on now. Are you a King James Bible believer? All right, then don't try to change what the Bible just said. That's what's going to happen, okay? All right. Okay, and what I'm saying is this. God's, by the way, the Bible says another place, I think I got the verse here, that, let's see here. Oh, in verse number 1 there, at the end of it, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Notice the last little phrase. And there was what? No more sea. Now watch this. Look right up here. I looked it up this morning so I'd have my record accurate. 71% of the earth's surface is covered in water. 71%. So God's going to remake the new heaven and new earth, only you know what? He's not going to put the oceans. He's not going to put the seas there. Which means that we're going to have a land capacity that's hard to believe. You say, what are we going to do, preacher? Are we going to spend all our time in the New Jerusalem? I don't think God recreated a new earth so that we didn't get to enjoy it. I think that we're going to want to spend time at the throne of God. I think it's going to be an enjoyable time. I think once a month when the new fruit blossoms, you know what? Everybody's going to head to the throne and enjoy the new fruit and drink of the water of life and praise and worship God. And I think about once a month we'll head back. But you know what? After that, I think we're going to We're going to find some friends, and we're going to find some loved ones, and we're going to find some people that we want to spend time with, and we're going to get to discover the beauties. Listen, folks, I've traveled a little, not a lot, but I've traveled enough to just be at awe at the beauty of this earth, and yet it's under the curse of sin. Not only was it under the curse of sin, but literally it was reworked by the judgment flood. And yet it retains the essence of its original beauty. And yet you take the curse of sin, no judgment, original creation, no sin. God's got all of that landscape to make. I think that we're going to come back to heaven once a month. Now, I want heaven to be real in your mind. I think we're going to come back to New Jerusalem once a month, and somebody's going to say, hey, I don't know if you've been there yet, but you've got to go check this out. And you've got to go, and you know what? You're going to be able to get to spend time with people. I mean, maybe one month you'll take off with this group. Another month you'll say, you know what, man? I always wanted to meet Joshua. And so I'm going to find Joshua and see where he's heading. Now, listen, folks, how long do we have to do this? All eternity. All eternity. And we'll get to... Now, you say, preacher, what if I get bored with the new earth? Well, then there's new heavens. Well, how am I going to get there? Well, we're getting there. Number three, five best things about heaven. Number three, our glorified bodies. Our glorified bodies. Now, I love this. I love this. Watch this. Go over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because it's fun to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Folks, I've got good news for you, especially if you're 40 years old or older. You won't have to be in this body forever. Amen. And anybody that's got a little age on, get a little lung in the tooth, you're thinking, if I could trade this thing in. Well, one of these days, if you're saved, you're going to get to trade it in for a better model. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let's just, again, read the Bible and have some fun. Verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15. Some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. And it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. Let's see if I explain this, though. I want the young people. I don't want to lose them. You know, if you plant a garden, okay, and we're just now finishing off our corn on the cob, amen? If you were involved and helped mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, somebody plant a garden this year, you took a little corn seed about that big and you put it in the ground. Now, folks, one of the neatest things, if you've never done it, and I've done it many times, I always buy too much corn seed. Are you like me? I don't know what it is, but I know that I don't need that much, but I just insist on buying that much. I buy probably twice as much seed as I need. I always do. But let me tell you what's really neat. When you get ready to plant, pick your, and you've got 2 ears, we've got a real good crop of sweet corn, and most of them had 2 ears on it. I took a machete and I cut the bottom of that thing off, and I held that up with the 2 ears still on it. I didn't pick the ears, I just held it up. I went over to the shed, and I found an extra corn seed that I had. And then I took the corn seed and held it in this hand, and the corn stalk, and held it in this hand, and I just looked at them. And you know what God's saying? This is the body you have now. And the only way to get this body is put it in the ground. Now, I've got good news and bad news for you. There is a glorified body waiting for you, but there's only one way to get it. All right. But you know, this, I want you to carry that comparison home. Here's the seed. And he said, thou fool. He said, you know what? This can't be this unless it goes into the ground. Now, you know what? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We really are. This is an amazing human beings and study of the body and how God put it together and really the wonderful things we can do and how everything works together. But that is this compared to this of what our glorified body is going to be one of these days. Bible goes on and talks about, can I keep reading just a little bit? Hey, amen. Having a good time. I lost my glasses again. Where they at? All right. Thank you very much. Man, alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Watch this. But God, verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And to every seed his own body. You know what's going to be neat? Is that your glorified body isn't going to be exactly like anybody else's. Just like none of us are the same here exactly, none of us will be the same there. And I don't understand all this. I'm going to tell you, there's just limitations of what I can understand, but it takes the seed. God uses the seed to make the new body. You ever thought about this? Why does God raise up? Listen, will we die to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord? Our soul is in the presence of God, and yet there is a resurrection day. Now you can say, oh, preacher, 4,000 years ago, a guy got ate by a whale, and he was a Christian. And how in the world, how in the world it happens? It don't happen in the world. If God can speak and worlds appear, I promise you, when God calls, they're coming. And I don't have to understand it, but I know He's God. But I don't totally get this, but it seems like, I think, why would God want this thing? But He takes the essence of our physical body and uses something that He needs it to make. And that's why I think, we're going to recognize each other in heaven. And I don't know on what basis, but you know what? When Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration there, the disciples looked over and they saw, who was there? Elijah? Moses? And who else? Elijah. And you know what? Peter didn't say, hey, who are you guys? He looked over and he said he saw Moses and Elijah. So how did he know? He'd never even seen them while they were on earth. But he knew they were Moses. I'm not going to walk around heaven going, hey, anybody know where D.L. Moody is? Anybody? I'm going to look and say, there's D.L. Moody. Amen. If you owe somebody money, they're going to be able to find you. Just chip up a little bit of asphalt, hand it to them. There you go. Sorry about that. It's under the blood. Amen. I mean, listen, what are you saying? I'm saying I know I'm failing at this. Because there's no, I promise you, the best message you ever heard on heaven, when we get to heaven, if we listen to it, we'd laugh at it. Because we'd say, listen to that poor preacher trying to describe this, and he didn't even come close. All I know is, watch this, we are going to get new glorified bodies. Let's jump on down, watch this. Verse number 42, 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. Okay, so our body now is corruptible. The new one's going to be incorruptible. It's sown in dishonor. Amen. Amen. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. Yes, our limitations. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. Raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. So you know what, folks? We've got to go through life with this body before we get the new one. Watch this. Verse 51, let's save some time. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, this all sounds good. It's only available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our glorified body. How about that? How about Revelation 21:4? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I've got to move on. Chapter 4, or number 4, what's the five best things about heaven? Our eternal companions. Say, who's going to be in heaven? Well, let me read you some verses and give you some insight. And when he had taken the book, Revelation 5, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Folks, listen, the Bible talks about it as the sand of the seas. There's going to be people from all times, and there's going to be people from all peoples and all nations and all kindreds, and there's going to be one thing they have in common, and that's this. They trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They put their faith and work in God's finished work on Calvary's cross. How about that? How about that? There's not going to be lost people in heaven. There's going to be saved people in heaven. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worship God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be made unto God forever and ever. Amen. Hey, it sounds like to me they're praising God in that day, not blaspheming. They're praising God, not using His name in vain. Revelation 21, say, Preacher, that's who's going to be in heaven. Who's not going to be in heaven? Revelation 21:25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. God goes on to record these words in Revelation 22:13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Watch this, folks. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. But you know what? When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior, aren't you glad that His blood cleanses us from all sin? And because of that, we can walk into heaven and we are forgiven. We are justified. We've been redeemed because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. But folks, listen to me. You're not going to bypass Jesus and get to heaven. It was Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I don't think you have to trust Jesus to go to heaven. You're wrong, sir. I mean, look right up here. You're wrong. You're 100%, ma'am. You're 100% wrong about that. Well, I think I'm just going to be good enough. I don't need religion. I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I think if I'm good enough, you're wrong about that. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not something you work for. It's not something you can earn. You come to Jesus Christ. You come before God. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You admit you're a sinner. You admit that there's no good thing in you. And that if you have to be saved, it's going to have to be God that does it. And you know what? Then you can go to heaven. You put your full faith and trust in Jesus. Call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And folks, that's who's going to be in heaven. Hey, mommies, daddies, aren't you glad? You can send those children to run the streets of gold. You don't have to worry about sin. There'll be no child molester in heaven. There'll be nobody snatching children. Dear sweet ladies can walk the streets of glory. You don't have to worry about this nonsense. Never have to divert our eyes because of a billboard that shouldn't be there. God help us in this country. There'll be no legalized sodomite marriages. Excuse me. No whoremongers. That's what it said. No whoremongers will be there. Okay, you go ahead and let this culture change your mind about that, but you better get in God's holy word and understand God's a holy God, and He sets the standard of right or wrong, not what's accepted, certainly not the Supreme Court. Amen. I mean, it's going to be wonderful. I get so tired of the sinfulness of this world. It's like an oppression. Okay, I turn on the TV, try to watch a little news, I just turn it off. Think to myself, what has gone? What has happened to America? What's happened to this world? We've gone crazy into sin. take your children to Walmart, and half the time you've got to keep them from going down that aisle, keep them from this aisle. You can't go to check out your grocery somewhere with about a bunch of pornography right in front of you. What in the world's going on? Boy, it's going to be a good day when one of these days we get to heaven. Hallelujah. No sin there. You know what? Nobody there trying to lure young people out of the will of God. Nobody there trying to keep somebody get somebody involved in wickedness. None of that there. Praise God. Our companions. And then let me just finish with this. What's the last thing about heaven? Of the five best things about what's number five, preacher? The joy of eternity. Folks, here's the great thing. When you get there and you see everything that we've tried to describe and failed at describing and things that I haven't even touched, you know what? At some point you're going to look over at somebody and you're going to say, this is forever. It's never ends. Let me see if I can talk to young people and give you a little glimpse, and I don't expect you to get this totally because I wouldn't have got it at your age, and so I'm not picking at you. But this life is kind of a funny deal. Honestly, it's a raw deal. I'll just tell you. It's kind of a ripoff, all right? Because you're born and you have health and energy when you have no brains. By the time you get brains, you don't have any health and energy to do anything with. At some point in this whole process, this craziness called life, you know, by the time you hit 35, you imagine anybody being that old, 35. That's terrible. 35 or 40, people get into their 40s. I mean, good night. We might as well just go nursing home shopping when they get that age. But all of a sudden, when you get to that age, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute here, okay? I'm kind of running out of stuff here. I mean, this is it? Man, I used to think I'd live forever, and I'm wondering if I'm going to make it to the end of the week. And as I'm going, everything's hurting more, and it seems like everything's harder. And I mean, really? Folks, listen to me. If this world and this life was all there was, that's why Paul wrote, if there be no resurrection, we are all men most miserable. Come on, older folks, you understand what I'm saying. You're like, wait a minute, preacher, I mean, you know, I'm in my 60s, I'm in my 70s, and honestly, if this was it, I'm not saying there aren't some sweet things about life and there's some good things, but this, that's it? And then you die, that was it? Let me say this, that's not it. Not if you're saved, that's not it. You know, we go into this life understanding whether they fully grasp it or not. At some point you begin to realize, we're just here for a time. The Bible calls it a vapor. A life is a vapor, appears for a short time. But, you know, this is a pretty short deal. And when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to have? Here's the phrase, the Bible phrase. We're going to have eternal life. We're going to have everlasting life. Amen. Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Mark 10, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Jesus said in John 3, but as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him shall have everlasting, think about that, young people, everlasting life. John chapter 10, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can't pass up 1 John chapter 2. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm done. Look up here. You want eternal life? You want everything that we've described? This is what God said. You know where eternal life is? It's in my Son. He that hath the Son gets all this other stuff. He that hath not the Son, you don't get any of it. Say, preacher boy, I'd like to have a mansion. I'd like to wander up down those streets of gold. I'd like to live forever. I'd like to have a body that in comparison to this body that I have now is a seed. I'd like to have no pain. I'd like to have an eternity. I'd like to be in a place where there's no wickedness. I'd like, preacher, come on, I'd like all of that. How do I get that? Well, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, guess what? Eternal life comes with the deal. And if you haven't, no matter what else you try in this world, when you die, you come back tonight. And you'll have to experience the five worst things about hell. Now, folks, this is real life. Let me just ask you this. Look up here. Please listen. We're done. Look up here. Don't grab your stuff. Just listen real carefully. Watch this. I don't want anybody here to leave and not be saved. I mean, if it was within my power to somehow make that possible, I'd do it. But it's not, because God created all of us where we have to decide for ourselves. And by the way, that's the way it should be. I should decide for me, because I'm going to have to suffer the consequences of that decision or receive the blessing of that decision. So I should be able to decide. Young people, you have to decide for you. Mom can't get saved for you. Dad can't get saved for you. The preacher can't get saved for you. You have to make that decision. Let me ask you an honest question. If you were to die right now, do you know 100% for sure that you're on your way to heaven? And if not, we have people in our church that have been carefully trained to take the Bible in just a few minutes explain to you how you can be saved. But let me give it to you in a nutshell. Eternal life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, one of these days you're going to walk up to a building and you're going to walk down a golden street. You're going to walk up to a building and you're going to put your hands on a mansion and you're going to stand and look in the front door and see that river of water, the throne of God, and you're going to see that fruit, that tree that bears, and you're going to experience. Listen, it's God. God wants you to have all that. But there's a problem called sin, and it has to be dealt with. And it took Jesus dying on the cross to pay for that sin. And He's the only one that could, and He's the only one that did. And if you accept Him as your Savior and put your full trust in Him, you got the Son, you got life. If you don't, you're going to lift up your eyes, being in torments. And for all eternity, remember this Sunday morning, and this preacher standing in this aisle pleading with you, get saved. Don't miss this. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. Lord, thank you for allowing this preacher to feel and sense your presence this morning. What a wonderful place. What a wonderful privilege, dear God. And Lord, we laid out the prediction at the beginning that, Lord, we would do our best, but we would fail in an attempt to do our best. And Lord, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of man, the things that you've prepared for those that are saved. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take this home, all the information we've been given. And if we're saved, dear God, good night. May we sing and clap our hands. Brother Tom led us in the song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And then there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Lord, everybody that's in this room, I want to one day see in heaven. Lord, I want to embrace them in heaven. I want to walk the streets and shout with them and enjoy everything that God has for us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that each of us would take a moment and look down the timeline of our life and ask ourselves an honest question. Has there ever been a time where I fell under conviction, Holy Spirit conviction of my sin, felt the drawing of the Father, understood the gospel, understood I was a sinner, but that Jesus died for sinners, understood that Jesus was buried and rose again? Has there ever been a time in my life where I put my full faith and trust in Jesus and Him alone for my salvation? Lord, if we can say yes, 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 I've done that, then Lord, we have eternal life. If there's one here this morning that's never received Jesus as their Savior, I pray they'd be saved today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask nobody to look around. And you know that if you come here every Sunday morning that the preacher don't do this a lot, but when I feel impressed of God to do it. If you're here this morning and you say, Preacher, man, I did look back and I have looked at my own heart. And Preacher, thank God. I know that there's been a time that I've been saved. If I were to die right now, not because I deserve it, not because I'm good enough, but I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I have that assurance. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, I've accepted Jesus. I know for sure that I'm saved. You can put your hands down. You may not have been able to raise your hand, and by the way, I appreciate your honesty. I know what it is like to walk into a church and not be saved. I attended church for some time without being saved. Thank God there was a service, a time when the preacher preached on salvation, and God made it crystal clear, and the Holy Spirit convicted me, and the Father was strong. I was sitting in my seat, and I mean, my heart was going a million miles an hour, and God was urging me forward. But you know what? I had to make the decision to accept Jesus that day. I could have resisted. I could have not done it. But that day, I stepped out of my pew and I walked to the front and I knelt down with the preacher and he took the Bible and showed me how I could be saved. And in simple faith, I called upon Jesus and asked Him to be my Savior and accepted the free gift of eternal life. And if you're here today and God's speaking to your heart, I pray that this invitation will be your day to be saved. Preacher, I listened carefully to what you said. If I was to die right now, I can't say for sure that I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it, and God is working on my heart. And I feel like God wants me to make that decision this morning. Can I just pray for you? That's what I'd like to do, is just pray for you in a minute here. I won't call your name out. I won't embarrass you. I won't come get you. We don't do those things. I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'm concerned about it. God's working in my heart. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I'm not saved, but I'm concerned about it. God's working in my heart. Anybody? God bless you. All right, I see that hand. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not saved, but God's working on my heart. If you raise your hand just a minute when we have the invitation, I'd encourage you to come. We have Brother Jack up here, Brother Riser up here. They'll be able to get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Heavenly Father, I promise I'd pray, and I do. I lift up this young man to the Lord. Lord, you brought conviction upon his heart, and Lord, I pray that he'd be saved this morning. Lord, for those that are saved, Lord, dear God, help us, dear God, to develop a genuine heart concern for those who are not. We want everybody we know, family, friends, neighbors, everyone in this community, we want to see them in heaven one day. Lord, please deepen our burden for souls. We pray these things in Jesus' name.